Narayana Parasarvena Kutasthana Vibhati Swarga Pavardhana Kaisu pay to be out of the Shema. A pure devotee of Narayana is never afraid of going anywhere and everywhere. For him, heaven and hell are one and the same. Bhagavatam 6:17-28. Such devotees wandering all over the world deliver those who are actually afraid of this material existence. Some people are already disgusted with material existence, being confused and frustrated by material enjoyment. And some people who are intelligent and are interested in understanding the Supreme Lord, both may take advantage of pure devotees who wander throughout the world. When a pure devotee goes to a place of pilgrimage, he desires to purify that holy place of pilgrimage. Many sinful men bathe in the holy waters of the places of pilgrimage. They take their baths in the water of Ganges and Yamuna at places such as Prayag, Vrindavan and Mathura. In this way, the sinful men are purified, but their sinful actions and reactions remain at the holy places of pilgrimage. When a devotee comes to take his bath at those places of pilgrimage, the sinful reactions left by sinful men are neutralized by the devotees. Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swanta Stena Tadabhuta Bhagavatam 1:13. Because the devotees always carry the Supreme Personality of God within their heart, wherever he goes becomes a place of pilgrimage, a holy place for understanding the Supreme Personality of God. It is therefore the duty of everyone to associate with the pure devotee and thus attain freedom from material contamination. Everyone should take advantage of the wandering devotees whose only business is to deliver conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya.
Now, we know that many devotees
When they advance the yogis, will not show their ecstatic symptoms, or they choose not to show. But to understand, if a person is very advanced spiritually, there are two qualities which I mentioned, which is, other than their ecstatic symptoms, of course, is their steadiness in performing devotional service. And whatever they speak is for the benefit of others. So that is, these are very, very key qualities which is very easily displayed in a, from an external point of view also. When we see a very advanced devotee, that they are very steady in their devotional practices. And they only speak for the benefit of others. So when we see from the purport, like Prabhupada is describing both Bhajanananda and Goshyam, and of course Prabhupada is not criticizing the Bhajanananda devotees, because they are also great devotees of the Lord, and they choose to just stay at one place. In this verse from Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter is describing where Arjuna is asking Krishna in 254, the how does a Siddha Pragya devotee, how does he speak with all mystery asked. And to answering, in answering to that, in the next verse, Krishna actually says, which describes which type of devotee are qualified even to sit at one place and just chant. Because Bhajanananda devotees are those devotees who just perform their devotional activities, their bhajan, their hearing and chanting, just being at one place, and rarely go to the same place, or sometimes they go out for preaching. So the verse goes like, Praja Hatiya Dhatama, Sarvam Pratha Manodhana, Atmani Eva Pana Krishna Siddha Prabhya Dhulchade. Krishna is saying that when a person gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification, which arises from mental concoction in his mind, this purified finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be pure transcendental consciousness. So that type of devotee can even attempt to be a Bhajanandi, who is first of all fully satisfied within oneself, and he is absorbed in transcendental devotional service to the Lord. But whereas the other category, Goshyanandi devotees, which also has a wide range of devotees which can fit in that category, are those devotees who their view is to do good to others, basically. And with that view of doing good to others, they decide to move around, to travel, or to preach, basically, out of their own comfort zone, or leaving their own, not just focusing on one's own spiritual progress, but doing something for the benefit of others. And as we know, it's a very popular verse from 11th canto of Bhagavatam, which describes the quality of Madhyamadhika devotee. Which actually fits in Goshyam in the category. But of course, the range is so much that Madhyam itself is a very, very broad a category where quite a few varieties of devotees can fit in, who are very, very advanced also can come into that category. And those devotees who are not that advanced, but they are advanced enough to discriminate and give Krishna's mercy to the right candidate, also fits in that category. So that verse is, you know, it says, Ishvara Tata Adhikneshu Baliseshu Dvitashtu Dvishtu Tarcha Prema Maitri Kripapeksha Yav Pravati Samadhyama. So this second class of intermediate devotee, which is called Madhyamadhikari, offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord, shows mercy to ignorant people who are innocent, and disregard those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of God. So this is the category which falls in the Goshyanandi category. And of course, we have a very great example of a person from Uttama Adhikari category, a very highly advanced spiritual platform, choosing to come to this Madhyama platform, which is Srila Prabhupada, just for the sake of helping and preaching. Like Vaisheshika Prabhu says, he gives a nice example. He says that Madhyama Adhikari or this Goshyanandi devotees are that category who are just looking for an opportunity to go and give this message of Krishna to innocent people, those who are favorable And he gives the example of a tree which has many fruits on it. And he says that category of devotee is so expert that he knows which is the ripe fruit from the tree. And that fruit only goes and plucks. He doesn't go and try to pluck out the unripe fruit from the tree. He doesn't damage the fruit unnecessarily. So he figures out very easily or very quickly with his experience that which fruit is ripe or which candidate is ready to receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And then he preaches. But he says that father, you have to go to the tree. At least you have to go and search for the fruit. That much hard work a preacher has to do. And then based on the people outside, he will find innocent people whom he can give Krishna's mercy. And he was telling his own example, very inspiring example. He said once he went out on book distribution. And he was in an area where there were group of devotees in the US somewhere. He went and he went to a suburb where three houses together were of Muslims. And he went to the first house and he greeted them with Assalamu alaikum, and then like that. He greeted them that this is Sai. And they said, you believe in Allah? He said, yeah, I believe in Allah. He was in Dhoti Kurta Tilak. He goes like that mostly, I have no books. And they invited him home and he went and sat inside. And these were students, three students are there, three Muslim students who were smoking and they were eating fish there. And he sat with them and he started explaining Bhagavad Gita, and they became very interested, and they each purchased one Bhagavad Gita. And he went to the next house. It was a Muslim from Afghanistan, a professor actually, who knew about Bhagavad Gita. Then Rao preached to him, and he also purchased Bhagavad Gita, paying $20. Then he went to the third house, again third Muslim house. And he preached to him, and he also took Bhagavad Gita. And then he went to the fourth house. It was a Hindu Indian who said, no, I don't know Bhagavad Gita, I know about it. Go away. So then he was telling by his example that we don't know. In the three Muslim houses he knocked the door and they all took Bhagavad Gita and they were very receptive. And in this fourth house, which was a Hindu Indian person who said, no, I didn't know everything about Bhagavad Gita. So it's very hard to figure out. But that's exactly the point he was making, the expertise of a Goshenandi, which of course comes with experience, compassion, and the Supreme Lord, as per Mahatma within, guiding them based on their intense desire to spread Krishna's message out. That which is a ripe fruit. And he here clearly was mentioning, he said, just don't unnecessarily pluck unripe fruit. It disturbs. Leave them to get ripe and don't damage the branch, neither the fruit. Because he was saying that this material existence is going to cook them all up. It is going to make them ripen in due course. Even samsara dava this fire, this is going to cook people down. And we see now also so many devotees have experienced, since this pandemic has started, since the lockdowns are there and people are more at home, the receptivity has increased a lot. In hearing spiritual subject matter. Because all the nonsense which was occupying people's life has been completely stopped. So then there is more time to think of something deeper about life, about how the mind is treating people, how other people are getting affected and seeing them, many experiences people are getting. So it's really, actually it's a great time for preaching also, but of course we can't go out. But online things are being done, and many devotees are attempting for that. So, coming to Srila Prabhupada and his compassion, and how Uttama Adhikari comes down to this platform, this is a very nice pastime actually. Maybe some of you have already heard it, but very powerful pastime of Srila Prabhupada's compassion. How he came down to a platform where he took the suffering, or he took the heat on himself for benefiting others. This is the time where this is the last meal when Srila Prabhupada left this planet, beginning of 1977. And Prabhupada was so sick, he was just skin and bone practically. You just take 1/4 of a cup of orange juice per day. And that's his diet. It's that week. This is the last year, the beginning of the year, in January or February somewhere. And recently we were hearing Bhakti Jagannath explaining the whole last period of Srila Prabhupada, and he was telling that Prabhupada was very adamant to go to London and start, do one more tour of Western preaching. And he was really suffering physically, from physical point of view, health point of view. So at that time, one Pandit from Bangalore, Panchalatrika Pandit, Sampath Kumar Pattacharya, came to know about Srila Prabhupada's ill health. And he took a flight from Bangalore to come to Bombay, which in those days was a huge thing for a Brahmin priest to do, because to come by air travel. He felt it was really urgent for him to tell something to Prabhupada. And out of his affection for Prabhupada, he really did, took that step. He came all the way. And he met Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was not meeting any devotee in private because of his health, but Prabhupada agreed because of the pain he took. He flew all the way from Bangalore to Bombay just to see Prabhupada and tell him something very important which he felt. So everyone was asked to go out. They want to go to the devotees inside, and he was speaking to Prabhupada, this Bhattacharya. And he's saying, Prabhupada is lying on his bed, and this Bhattacharya is saying, Swamiji, I'm really feeling very pain, seeing your condition, your suffering. And then Prabhupada is on his bed saying that, yeah, whole world is meant for suffering. Dukhalena Shashwatam. And then this Bhattacharya says, but still Swamiji, there are so many people who depend on you. So when you suffer, they also suffer. And Prabhupada says, what can I do? This is how the situation is now. So this Bhattacharya says, so he tells to Prabhupada that I have something very important to tell you right now. And he really thought that Prabhupada hasn't figured it out. And he will come and out of his affection to let Prabhupada know that this will help him come out of his suffering. So he says, Swamiji, I want to tell you something. In Vrindavan temple, they are having a deity on the altar, and all kinds of people are coming and praying to it, offering flowers to it, but you are still living. So according to Panchadatta, when the Acharya is living, and if he puts his deity on the altar, then all the sufferings people are having comes from the body of the devotee through the deity. So because you are still alive, and your deity is on the altar, when people come and pray, and the suffering of the people who are coming and praying will come to your body. So you please tell your disciples to worship your deity only after you leave your body, not now. So he was speaking in such a way as if Prabhupada doesn't know about it, and he's trying to give this solution to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada told him, I know this. I came here to take their suffering. And this Bhattacharya was shocked that what is Swami saying? He knows about it, and still it's happening. So he was shocked that he was not giving any new information. This was very well known to Prabhupada, and he was determined to suffer for others. Then Prabhupada tells him, do you have anything else to say? Because I know this, I'm here for this, to stay there suffering, I'm purposefully doing it. So Bhattacharya says, Swamiji, if you wish, if this is your wish, what can I say? I'm only a priest. And then Prabhupada says, even when I leave, I will keep continuing to take their suffering and make them free so that they can keep chanting Hare Krishna. So, like, this is, even theoretically, it's hard to figure out what he was, what his mindset was, but it's very deep actually. That on what level of compassion Srila Prabhupada was actually showing. And that's why, you know, once I heard my spiritual master was saying that. For the whole Kali Yuga to come, especially 10,000 years of Kali Yuga to come, Srila Prabhupada is the spiritual master for the whole Kali Yuga. And when I heard, I felt this is a very big statement, because many spiritual masters are already gone and many will come. But he said, no, Srila Prabhupada is the guru for the next 10,000 years. So, why? Because we don't see many such examples of such compassion, of such intense compassion, of taking such suffering. Now the other day we were watching drama of Ramanujacharya, how Ramanujacharya approaches one of the gurus to get the mantra, the Vishnu-Narayana mantra, and 18 times he is rejected, and he has to walk all the way from his place to Tiruchi, I think, and then he is rejected again. 18 times he came and he was rejected. And then when he was given this mantra, the guru very clearly tells him, just keep it secret, don't tell to anyone, otherwise you will suffer if you speak to anyone. But then he asked, what will happen? He said, whoever gets this mantra, their life becomes perfect, all the suffering is over. And Ramanujacharya, who I have very quite a similarity in this mood of let me suffer for them, he goes on top of the building and he starts collects all the people and starts shouting the mantra. And just now the guru was told, don't tell this mantra to anyone because you will suffer if you tell this mantra to anyone. And he goes and tells everyone, and when his spiritual master, his guru, gets to know this, he becomes so upset, even curses him, you will suffer in hell for millions of lifetimes for doing this activity. And Ramanujacharya says, but others will be happy, right? Means their life will be perfect. Let me suffer. So there's quite a bit of similarity in this mood of Srila Prabhupada, that even after I'll go, I'll continue to take their suffering through my deity worship. And you know, Srila Prabhupada is here basically. So, you know, you see, then recently we had a sad departure of His Holiness Bhakti Chara Maharaj, who before leaving to America shows a very similar mood, that in line with spiritual master's mood, Srila Prabhupada's mood, that like this verse says, the last part of the purport says, this devotee is not afraid of going anywhere, for him heaven and hell are one and the same. And these are the exact words Maharaj says, that yes, I'm going, because even though it is hellish, I'm going there to preach, to spread the mission of my spiritual master. Actually, Maharaj was going there because he had a cow protection project going on, which he wanted the locals to understand the importance of protecting cows. And he was heading that project to inspire, guide his disciples. He was going there. And with a very similar mood, even though knowing all the risks, Maharaj still left for that place. So, you know, even from internally we have no access, but externally also to think like that is not easy. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to even say, okay, I'll suffer on your behalf. It's very hard. Because the attitude, this attitude of being of some assistance or some service to someone else, and take the pain on oneself to serve some other devotee or to another living entity is materially unheard of. But even in spiritual circles it's very good. It's very, very advanced platform. You know, coming to the purport ahead, which talks about the association of pure devotees. Very interesting point mentioned in the purport, of course. But recently I heard there was a interview done by Gauranga Prabhu and Jonas Devan Maharaj. And this interview was very enlightening, in the sense that many important questions were raised, and not just for beginning devotees, but for devotees who are there for in the moment for many, many years, many senior devotees, even the leaders. And one question which was asked to Maharaj was, what cautions even a senior devotee takes? So Maharaj gave a few points, but a couple of points which matches with the purport I wanted to mention. One was that as many devotees, many senior devotees can go through this, that once they're very much into the movement for many, many years, isolation can creep in. So the point Maharaj was making is that it is the responsibility of not just the beginning devotees or or into the movement for a few years, even those who are there in the movement for decades, it's their responsibility to seek out advanced association and to seek out good association of devotees. And the interesting point Maharaj mentioned there that the responsibility of them to seek out association of advanced devotees is not just for their spiritual benefit, but it's their responsibility for their followers also. It's their responsibility towards their followers also that they have advanced association, because that's what's going to be passed on. So two points basically Maharaj mentioned. One was that after many years of being Krishna conscious, devotees can lose track of taking shelter of the holy dham and the association of very advanced devotees in holy dham. Isolation was one of the points he was mentioning. So currently there was trying to connect to our current situation. From last so many months and for many, many months in the future to come, we will not have any traveling devotees coming to our temple basically. It will not happen. Maybe this year it may not happen at all. How the world situation is, how travel is going to open up everywhere, we have no clue. And the risk involved is a lot, which we have already seen in the recent incident. So these places of pilgrimage, these pure devotees who are Tirtha in themselves, who are holy places in themselves, moving around to share Krishna consciousness with us, are not going to visit this place, basically. So then taking from Maharaj's point, what I understood was that now currently connecting to our situation, it is very important for us to put that effort to take their association somehow, whether through online classes or previously recorded classes or local devotees or whatever. Because we don't have this chance. And I think the other day Prabhupada was giving class and he was mentioning that how when these senior devotees were even traveling, we sometimes do neglect and we don't utilize their experience or how advanced these devotees are and how many decades of service to Srila Prabhupada they have done. And we may fall for some interesting, attractive, very entertaining lectures. You mentioned that the other day. And when we don't give much attention to these personalities who have given their life and who are places of pilgrimage in themselves. So I feel this like, of course, many devotees are doing this, but now seeing the situation the way, especially in Victoria, it is, I think more has to be done, where we have no clue, there is no vision how and when things will become normal. So that same dosage of association of these devotees must be taken. And when I was there, the interview with Maharaj was happening, Maharaj was even telling by his own example. He was telling that every year he really relishes and he waits for that time and he goes to the holy dham. Not just be in the dham, but to associate with his fellow devotees, his group of devotees who are. He said that is so nourishing. So especially coming from the West, that quite a bit of contamination, if you're preaching in the West, can come on us. And he was quoting Prabhupada that this was one of the key reasons Prabhupada Prabhupada really suggested this point that devotees from the West should go and take shelter of the holy dham and the advanced devotees there. And if you see the verse which Prabhupada is quoting, the Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swatasena Dadabhuta from 1st Canto 30 chapter, which is glorification of Vidura actually by Yudhishthira Maharaj. In that purport, I really wanted to read that one paragraph from that purport, which is very happy and very suitable to this theme. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that the personality of Godhead is omnipresent by his diverse potencies everywhere. Just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere within space, similarly the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by his unalloyed devotees like Vidura. Just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb. A pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of Lord's unalloyed devotees. Actually, that makes the holy place the power to purify, because the devotees are present in the holy place. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places, take lessons from them, try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not mean only to take bath in Ganges or Yamuna or to visit the temple situated in those places. One should also find a representative of Vidura who have no desire in life save and except to serve the personality of Godhead. And then in the end of the Prabhupada he says, so by their actions the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage, and the holy places are worth the name only on their account. Means like this, people are in thousands or millions of people visit these places, and I don't think so hardly anyone knows this, that these holy places are in just the namesake only, if the advanced devotees association is not sought for, basically when visiting this place. And how powerful these devotees are when they are visiting, or when they are traveling or moving anywhere else. And this was one of the very crucial point. So as Sayyad Maharaj was mentioning in that interview, that it's very, very important. He was giving his own example. He was saying that, like, if he's in New Zealand now in lockdown, he was saying that there are only 3-4 senior Prabhupada disciples, other than grandchildren of Prabhupada, who are active and whom he associates with. And he was mentioning that he takes the responsibility to go and associate with them, because in the whole country there are 3-4. And then he said, even if he comes to Australia, there may be 5-6 more active Prabhupada disciples. There are many actually, but what he was mentioning this point, that it's our responsibility to really seek out their association and basically lift our own spiritual life. And Maharaj was mentioning that now he cannot go to the Holy Dham, so he misses that. He is really missing it. So we see, you know, recently when the head priest who went to do the final rites, who is always Bhakti Chala Maharaj, in the hospital, went after Maharaj left his body, a few minutes later he went to the hospital, in that a room he went, he entered the room and he said it was not a normal hospital room, it was a charge, it was a transcendental room. So then he spoke to the staff, he wanted to know what was their experience of Maharaj. And when he spoke to the staff, staff said he was so saintly, and this Prabhu was the priest there, he said that you don't know what was the fortune of him choosing to come to this place. And he said, you are right, we have never experienced anything like this before in the hospital. So now we are not able to define exactly what it was, but they could really feel a big difference when a saintly person is with them. Even though Maharaj must have not even spoken much, because mentally we can't talk much, but the presence itself, can you imagine a holy place comes to a hospital? So, because Krishna is within their heart, they are thinking of the Supreme Lord all the time. So, I feel that in our current situation, this purport gives us that indication, that two main points which I drew from this purport was, one is, whatever situation we are in right now, where we can't move out, and whatever we can reach out to people and preach can be tried or attempted. And then for us to take association of advanced devotees should not be neglected. So this is what I wanted to share from this purport. I'll just stop there. Any questions or comments or corrections of it?
You were mentioning before. travels to new cities. And after that, he mentioned as well that even events that we should seek out events association. So what about the devotees that start staying in Chandra here?
So the category is Bhajana and the devotees were very advanced Vaishnavas. When we say advanced, then advanced has a particular category, but range. But even these very advanced devotees, who were staying at one place, it's not that they're in isolation. It's just that they don't take the pain of traveling, or they don't feel that they have to go out and reach. They are very satisfied and they choose to just stay in one area and just hear and chant. But they associate with the devotees there. It's not that they don't associate. They are not in isolation. Problem with isolation. And for many hours a day they do spend in their personal spiritual practices. But the point here is that they don't choose to go out and save the conditioned souls. But locally they are associating, or they must be associating with their Vaishnava devotees itself, but they are not going out to help those people who have no opportunity otherwise to come in contact with Krishna. So that example, if you see in contrast with what Srila Prabhupada did, Srila Prabhupada was also in a similar situation where he was in Vrindavan, staying in the temple, and where he had good association of devotees around him. But he chose to go out and give people a chance to come in contact with Krishna. And he became that place of pilgrimage, to move out of the pilgrimage and travel throughout the world, basically to purify a huge number of people. And we see the result. That's the reason we are sitting here. Otherwise, there is no chance, basically. So they do associate. Association is necessary for anyone and everyone. Even Prabhupada would go and talk. When he would come back from India, he would spend time with his god brothers. Because there are many things Prabhupada could not even speak in front of his disciples. They were so young to even understand those subject matters. So, but yeah, that's exactly how they do. Isolation is a problem. This is the problem with isolation, is that your mind can take over, and when our mind takes over, then we cannot judge whether it's a right decision or not, even in the name of Krishna consciousness. That's one problem. Zero. Anything else? Ranjashri Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Prabhupada Ki Jai.